Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hi, Eric. Hi, everyone. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really great. I had a really busy couple of days, which has been great because this is kind of like my money-making time where my business is going full flight when I do work on homes. And then I'm still doing some bartending shifts. And last night was a crazy night because I'd work all day and then I worked all night, like that song, right? And then,
yeah.
There was the big basketball game on last night where LeBron James kind of took his team on his back for the second night in a row and stayed off elimination for
wow.
the championship, and everybody was having a great time, and it's been a busy time, and I've been making sure to steal 2 or 3 hours here or there in my schedule for myself, just to it's really important once you understand like what is the ideal work-life balance and just life balance for that matter. And being able to steal some time away so that I can, really perform and ask a lot of myself and my body, but also feel comfortable doing so and not feeling burnt out. So it's been a neat little experiment, and it's been a good time of the year. And I just feel that I do this better year after year. Get a little bit better each year.
Excellent. Well, it's important to have downtime, and I don't think we take near enough of that. I think it's sort of a badge of honor to be busy, and I'm not sure that that's really warranted, actually. So it's good that you get that balance. I know with Peter, too, doing, the work that he does is very physical. So it's really important for him to take days off, too, even though, he may be busy and it's good that the money's coming in. You've got to sometimes put the money thing aside and really take care of yourself. So it's good to get that balance.
Yeah, it really is, and I know some people, or a lot of people may have, 9-to-5 jobs or jobs that are, scheduled, or even if it's like, a regular scheduling 40 hour a week. But yeah, I find it such an important question to ask of ourselves is this, idea of work-life balance. And I was working this morning because, it rained a little bit on Wednesday and I had to sneak some jobs in this morning earlier than I would have liked to. But just being on the job site and asking myself, does this feel good? Because it's important to make more money than you spend, for sure. And sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances where that's easier. I find myself in my life and different years in my life where that's been easier or more difficult, depending on where I've been at or what I've been creating or where I've been employed. But it's really important to ask, what for, right? And to make sure that we live each day that we live. We get 7 days a week, and to make sure that we're enjoying each one of those days, because I don't think sometimes we have to do things to get stuff done and to accomplish certain objectives. But I think the goal really should not necessarily be to, maybe buy things that we see and that we're tempted to purchase, but more so live each one of our 7 days in a week in a way that we look forward to and in a way that we don't dread. Because I know I've certainly been guilty of that in my past on a whole host of things, whether it's been school or work or commitments I no longer wanted to have. But to ask ourselves if we really are enjoying, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And if we're not completely, then we have work to do. And I think, that process of stopping and asking ourselves what it is we're doing and what it is we're really doing it for, and how do we enjoy our time as much as we can while we're blessed to live here, and if we have internet, to live a privileged life here.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that there's a lot of people, I think, that are doing things that they don't necessarily, that they're not enjoying. And I think it's really important to take a look at why, if I'm not enjoying something, then I need to look at why I'm not enjoying it. Is it because I'm doing something, as you said, just to make ends meet or to buy the stuff that I want to have, or is it because I'm looking at the end point and I'm not enjoying the experience as it's happening? And, you know, I refer to a part-time job I had a few years ago. I know I refer to it a lot, but it's the only job I've had in a long time besides the work that I do. And it was a boring job, but I remember going in there every morning saying, well, you know, we do need that extra money to pay the bills. We're talking about basics here. We're not talking about going on vacation or whatever. This was to pay the bills. And yes, it's boring, but if I'm finding it boring, then it's because I'm not in the present moment. I'm sitting at my desk watching the clock, waiting for it to hit time to go home. So every morning as I walked into work, I said to myself, this is my lesson in being present. This is my lesson in being present. And when I sat down, I fully immersed myself in the work. And it was so interesting the way, you know, it came time to go home so quickly when I did that, because time ceases to exist. And the thoughts about what you're doing totally disappear because you're actually having the experience of being in that moment doing whatever it is that you're doing. And it's such a difference. And I'm sure that everybody out there has had that experience at some, you know, maybe some people have it a lot of the time, and maybe some people have only seen flashes of it through their lives. When you're so immersed in something that you're doing, and all of a sudden you look at your watch, you look at the clock, and you think, oh my God, how has 8 hours gone by? And I've been sitting here so absorbed and not even notice. Even having a conversation with someone when it's so interesting and you're so absorbed in the conversation and you're present in the moment, next thing you know, you think, oh my gosh, I've got to go. It's, you know, I mean, I've gone and met people for coffee and had that experience and thought, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, 3 hours have gone by while we're sharing this experience. It's just such an amazing feeling. And, you know, there's no reason why we can't have more of those experiences in our life.
Yeah, it's totally true. And, you know, that experience of getting into flow, and which is also a great book, by the way. The title of the book is just called Flow. When we get into those situations where all of a sudden 2 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours just pass without us really even realizing it, and just how pleasurable and how productive we are in those moments, you know, it really should be something to aspire to have as much of that be how we spend our time, you know, while we're blessed to have time here. I do absolutely love when you say, you know, how we, you know, watch the clock. And I mean, my goodness, and when I felt trapped in school, and when I felt trapped in some jobs while I was, you know, having jobs, you know, while I was at school in particular, you know, not watching the clock, I mean, that was brutal for me. And I don't know whether I was normal, or I just felt like, to me, like every day I watched the clock. I couldn't wait for 3 o'clock to hit so I could go play sports when I was in like middle school and even later on. And, you know, I just hated being stuck somewhere and feeling like I couldn't leave. And I look back to all those times, and I just realized how much suffering I caused myself. And I didn't know any better. I didn't have any better tools. I didn't have any tools to use to help myself. I just felt powerless, you know. And I think that's why, like, the nerd or the teachings of somebody like Tony Robbins at the beginning of my, you know, introduction to, wait a second, I might actually have some power, and I might be the creator of my experience, and I might have some power over my own mind. You know, it was so attractive to me, because I felt terrible, you know, and asking myself, like, you know, being able to, just one of the first tools is being able to ask yourself, you know, if I look at the clock and I don't want to be here and I have to be here for 2 more hours, like, how does that feel? And you eventually have to take responsibility and be like, oh, I'm the one creating, you know, this dynamic, you know, and it may be something that we may be stuck into, but, you know, the good news is that, you know, if we're bored enough, or that if we're not challenged enough, that we have the time to just, like, basically stare at the clock for hours on end, or check back on the clock every few minutes, then we certainly have time to think and get ourselves in a more resourceful state to think about ways that we can change our circumstance so that this doesn't have to be our existence. And I think that is really important, is to ask ourselves, and kind of going back to the beginning of the show where it's like you just ask yourself, you know, know, how does this feel? You know, when I do this behavior or when I'm in this situation, how does it feel? And while there may not be anything we can do about it in the short or medium term, there's absolutely something we can do about it with a long-range focus. And I think, you know, being able to take back power over our lives and take back power over the direction of our lives is like the most self-loving thing that we could possibly do, so that we can start creating a life, start creating an environment where we're thriving and where we're having many experiences of flow.
Yeah, I really like that you say self-loving, because I think a lot of people look at the idea of making certain choices that are good for us as being selfish.
Yes.
And I think it's really important to distinguish between the two, because I think they're very, very different. I think self-loving is such a nice way of putting it. I always say selfless, but it's so close to selfish that it really doesn't explain it the way that word is. So I'm glad you coined that. Self-loving it's a beautiful way to put it. Because if we don't feel that love for ourselves, if we're not feeling it and connected to it, then it's very difficult to be loving towards other people. And the times when we are being selfish is when we're not feeling that self-love, when we're not loving ourselves in the way that we want other people. You know, every time you look at someone else and say, I wish they loved me the way I want to be loved, we've got to feel that inside, because we can't love other people and we can't expect other people to love us if we're not in that state of self-loving from the get-go. And I think sometimes this sort of tough exterior facade or image of, well, I'm just going to stand up for myself and I'm just going to, you know, do what's right for me and I, you know, the heck with everybody else, is not quite the same thing. it's got a little more grace and it's a little less threatening and it's a little less defensive. It's a very soft and peaceful, it has a different, a soft and peaceful energy about it. And so it's really important to recognize the difference between the two, because I think we can get lost in that, okay, I'm going to have a voice, I'm going to be tough, I'm going to be strong, and that's not really what it means to be strong, is to have that sort of angry force behind it. It's more about that strength, the strength of love.
Yeah, I love that you bring up the idea of selfishness, and because that really turns, that really resonates and resonates a lot in conversations that I have with people, is that we feel like if we are to do something other than what we're doing, one of the ways in which we stop ourselves from going after what we want is because we do think it's going to be selfish, and that inner critic gets sparked. And it's like, oh, well, if I take Fridays off or something like that, or I do less here, or I stop volunteering in this place, that's me being selfish, you know, where really, you know, what is the people around you in your life that would benefit from you being more self-loving to yourself, and saying a loving no, which we talk about a lot on this show. But it is so critical. It stops ourselves so many times. Like sometimes we have these ideas about where we want to take our life or we have a really exciting or inspiring idea that's like, hey, I'd like to do more of this, or I'd like to be in this role more often. And then we're like, well, how do you get that? And it's like, oh, I have to be selfish first to get that. And then we just stop ourselves because we're told and admonished. You know, there is a great, you know, overarching lesson that we tell kids, is not to be selfish. And we take that in almost a wounded way into adulthood. And it stops us from really going after some things that we really want, because, yes, there are times you have to say no to either people or commitments we've already made, or relationships, in order for us to move forward in life. And so often we stop ourselves because of the inner critic saying, no, you can't do that because that will mean that you're selfish. When in fact, you know, if we can stop and create the gap and take a look at that thought and ask, is it true? We can make incredible advances in our own mindset.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, you wonder how we grow up having that attitude. And it, your self-worth takes a beating when someone says you can't make choices that are self-loving, and they call it selfish. Mm. You know, I think it really tears down your self-worth, and you start to look at it from the vantage point that I must think of everyone else first and I come last. And I don't think it's healthy. I don't think it's healthy. And I mean, self-care, well, you know, we come back to self-care all the time. And I think self-care is a huge part of it. And when I say self-care, I'm talking about really taking care of your own emotional well-being, your physical well-being, your spiritual well-being. And when those are all in a healthy, optimal state, then nothing you do is selfish. Nothing you do is against someone else. It may be for you. And I've made decisions before where I've had to explain to people, this decision is not anything against you, but it's something that I'm doing for me. And I think when we make that clear, I think when we understand it ourselves, it makes it a lot easier to then make decisions based on what's best for us. Because sometimes when we make decisions to do things for other people, we can often even be enabling them to continue something that's unhealthy for them. So just in our own making that choice, that self-loving choice, I think is healthier for everybody. Whether the other person recognizes it or not is, you know, totally up to them to work their way through it. But yeah, it's I don't know how we end up growing up like that. It's just the things we're taught, the memes, the patterns that we develop, and how we deal with the things that we learn as we're growing up aren't always in the healthiest way.
Yeah. And they're not like necessarily shared in a way that is really comprehensive or really is at a level that's deep enough. So often it's just, you know, kid says yes and parent says no, and that's the end of it. You know, it's not no and these are the, you know, these are the reasons why, and this is what trait I'm trying to develop in you, and here's what we're trying to ward against, we're trying to establish good habits, and you know, but none of, like, we're all so rushed, you know, and when you have children you're even more rushed, and we just don't get around to it, and that's from the parent's perspective, and from the child's perspective it just ends up being a power play, and we start to then create unhealthy conclusions about certain life lessons. You know, like kids know. I mean, kids are wonderful emotional creatures. I mean, you can say they're terrible emotional creatures too, just depending on where you get them in the day. But you know, like I mean, you have an argument with a child. It's not necessarily logic. I mean, kids don't argue with logic because it's largely undeveloped. You know, kids argue with feelings. And kids know. You know, it's like, you know, you have to practice piano, and they're like, no, I don't feel like practicing piano right now. You know, And they, you know, they checked in, they considered what you said maybe, or maybe they had an idea of what they wanted to do. I mean, they're just little adults. I mean, we all do that too. And if somebody came along and we were expecting to go grocery shopping, you know, in the next 10 minutes, and somebody says, hey, can you do this task that takes 45 minutes? You're like, no, I'm going to go grocery shopping. But when you're a kid, you don't have a choice. You know, kids like, I'm going to play with my friend Alex, or I was going to play with my dolls. And I don't really want to practice piano for 45 minutes because, you know, that's not what I was planning on doing. But it's like, you know, if you don't do that, and so this whole idea of like doing what's good for you and what feels good for self-love, you know, right now I need some alone time. I was just at school all day, you know, I had a rough day. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not telling you necessarily about it. But, you know, I'd really like just to act out some things with my dolls or my action figures or my trucks. And I don't really feel like playing piano right now, even though I know that's what I'm supposed to do at 4:15 when I get home from school. You know, that's a self-loving, you know, resistance to the request to practice piano. But, you know, if you don't practice piano, well then you're lazy, you know, and you could even anger your parents and they could say some of these things to you. You know, it's like, you know, you take swimming lessons, you're like, I don't feel like going to swimming lessons today. You know, maybe we had track and field day and I'm tired and I don't, you know, my body doesn't feel like it. And I don't want, you know, I don't like my teacher. I can't explain this all to you logically. I just don't feel like going. Well, if you don't go to swimming, you know, then you're a quitter, you know, and if, You know, some days we wake up and we don't want to go to school. I mean, some days as adults we wake up, we don't want to go to work. I mean, that's a totally reasonable feeling to have, you know. But, you know, you're irresponsible if you don't go to school. You know, of course you can't stay home from school. And so this is the ways that we, like, all, you know, shut down, you know, these instincts for how we feel and how we dictate our life and how we want to live a life based upon how we're feeling. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we're just being absent and just being, you know, difficult to deal with. But sometimes there's a real good reasons behind it. And, you know, maybe I even shouldn't say real good reasons or bad reasons. I shouldn't judge the reasons. They're just reasons, you know, that we have for feeling a certain way and knowing what we want to do next and being forced to do something else. And I think that's a real way that we can take this idea of, you know, doing what we feel is we want to do and then admonishing ourselves, our own inner critic, our own inner voice that we've, you know, swallowed from all of our examples of growing up and all of our development and think that we're selfish. You know, and I do absolutely want to give voice to something that you said too. You know, when you say, well, I make this decision, I'm making it for me, not against you. You know, if I don't want to participate in some activity because my week's already too full, it's a decision for me, it's not against you. And I think that's a real, real, we don't often use that language when we interact with one another. And I think it's really important language because it's a real healthy assertiveness. You know, it's not aggression, it's just a real healthy assertiveness to say, I'm making a decision for me, you know, not to deny you or not to say that what you have is not important. It's just what is most important is my life. And again, we can very quickly say, oh, well, that's selfish. And they're like, is it? You know, is it really?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, guilt plays a big role in it. Mm. I mean, that's one of the, I think that's in the mother's handbook, is teach your children guilt.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. Yeah. And but the thing is, like, you're talking about children not being able to express themselves. But how often do parents let their kids express themselves?
Mm.
How often do parents, you know, maybe they do a lot more now. I don't know, because my kids are 32 and 27, you know. Certainly I still sit down with them and talk to them about how they feel about things. I didn't have the tools and skills and the wisdom back when they were much younger, when they were in their, you know, in the primary grades, that I do now. But as soon as I did, I started to change my approach to how I was a parent. And a lot of it had to do was sitting down and saying, you know, you don't want to do your homework now. Okay, so tell me what's going on. Tell me why this isn't a good time for you to do your homework. And who am I to say, you know, even when it came down to things like picking up after themselves around the house or cleaning their room or whatever, I really started to look at it from my own perspective. There were days I didn't want to clean the house, you know, for whatever reason. How would I have felt if someone had come along and, you know, gave me a hard time because I hadn't cleaned the house? Would I have felt loved and supported and respected? Probably not. So why was I getting on their case to clean their room or pick up the dirty dishes? And I started shifting it and saying, okay, so you're having a problem with bringing your dirty dishes into the kitchen, putting them in the dishwasher. So what's going on? You know, why do you think that that's hard for you? And then it would give them the space to think about it and realize that it was something that they had to look at and work on. And it was so interesting because by the time my son was ready to leave home, and I would ask him that question, he'd say, I know, it's a real issue for me and I'm working on it. And that was enough for me, for him to be aware and to acknowledge that it was something that he needed to work on. And I think that's all we can ask of other people is, if we can even ask that, to be honest. But as parents, to understand that our children are no different than us and that they react and they need the same things that we need. They need to feel safe enough to express themselves. They need to be given the space to do so. They need to be supported. they need to be given the freedom to make their own choices and fail if they have to. All these things are things that we ourselves want, and yet when it comes to our kids, it's because we said so. And I think that a lot of that could change. A lot of that, you know, is stuff that I changed, and I saw a real difference in my relationship with my kids and how much more responsible they were for having the space to express themselves and to make their own choices. Age appropriate, of course, but to make their own choices.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you say about like actually giving them the space to then turn it as a reflection for themselves and be like, you know, yeah, why do I do this? And give them the space to come up with an answer. And you actually start to strengthen that self-development muscle in them. And I mean, and what does this show other than a massive culmination in mine and in your life, self-development? And for anybody's ears who are hearing it, you know, that's what we're seeking, you know, in this podcast is this self-development. You know, it doesn't do us any good once we're adults to like rely on other people for our development, because that's how you wind up in a dead-end job and a dead-end life. You know, we need to be, you know, we need to have a real healthy motivation to or leaning towards self-development to make and create and make a more beautiful life, not only in our experience, but in the people whom make a beautiful environment for the people whom we love to bring into. You know, it's the self-development that's important, the self-development muscle. And I like what you said, you know, I went to the exact same, my thoughts went to the same thing, you know, like, you know, sometimes like, you know, I don't feel like cleaning the house, or, you know, as I look around here as I'm doing this podcast, you know, there's a few things that are untidy here, you know, on my desk and, you know, my, you know, I have a couple of things out of place and how would I feel, you know? And I think that, you know, we're so conditioned to recognize this, you know, if this was, you know, let's say a man comes home from work, you know, there's been great strides in this area in our society. So, you know, right now, a man comes home from work and says, you know, starts giving you a real hard time about why the house isn't clean. Well, we're really quick to say, that's getting close to abuse even. Like, don't do that to me. You know, but how often do we do that with cleaning or a whole host of other things with children? And I think that, you know, we're a little, you know, that might be years down the road, you know, where we start to be like, maybe that's not the best approach, despite, you know, things needing to be done and accomplished. You know, maybe there's a space between there and here where we can more fully develop, you know, a young person's inner world. And that's just a more loving way to act to them. And then, you know, going back full circle on the show, it's like when you do a behavior to stop yourself and say, how does that feel? How am I feeling right now? How do I feel like when I force somebody to do something, you know? Probably causes some stress in us, and probably causes some resistance, and probably causes some tension, and probably, you know, shrinks the space of the relationship, no matter who it's with. And I think, you know, it's those moments, and that's why I so love, you know, create the gap. You know, pull yourself out. When you, the first sign that you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, or that you're having a negative experience, you know, stop. Stop and take a look, you know, and ask yourself, you know, how does this feel? And could this be done better?
Yeah. And just questioning yourself, how would you feel if someone was doing this to you?
Yeah.
Because I think that really hits home. Well, it does for me anyway.
Yeah.
But I think when we turn it around and say, what I'm doing to this person, what I want someone, how would I feel if someone was doing it to me?
Yeah.
And that sort of puts a little more better perspective on it.
Yeah. Well, we used up the whole show. I usually like to get to meditation before this time, but I think it was so chock full of content today. I think it's good that we went into a lot of places and really a lot of things to consider, you know, even just as we have this conversation, for myself to consider and keep myself in the present moment more often, so that I'm always considering the other, you know. And in a way, when I consider the other, you know, it's not even just that simple. What I'm doing really is self-healing, because I am choosing a new path, you know, for my own inner child or for my own, you know, my own person inside. When you ask that question, how would I feel on the other end of this? You know, it's a really beautiful way to grow in the direction of love.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you wouldn't mind finishing us off and sending us off into our week, Bettina, with a meditation, that'd be beautiful.
I definitely would. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe deeply into your belly and feel the breath as it enters every cell of your being, And you relax into this moment and let go of anything that needs to be done or anywhere that needs to be gone or anything that needs to be said. And in this moment, see before you yourself as a child. And as you stand before this child stands before you. Ask this child what they would have wanted, what they want now. Because that child is always alive in us. And that child is always showing us the emotional path on which we travel. And this child can help us to change that path to one of emotional health, spiritual health, physical health. Speak to this child and be ready to hear the honesty that they impart on you about what they really want, what they really need. And then provide it for yourself. Give yourself those things that that child inside you is looking for. When you learn to parent your own little girl or boy inside with love and compassion and wisdom and courage, it will be a huge reflection on how you parent your own children or how you relate to other people. The biggest and most important relationship we have in our lives is with ourselves. It is the foundation upon which every relationship we have is based. If it is unhealthy, we will create unhealthy relationships with others. So take the time to improve that relationship with yourself, to learn to love, have compassion, that strength comes from that recognition of who you are and not from anger that you may be carrying around. And treat that little child the way they want to be treated or always did want to be treated, whether you did, were, or were not treated that way when you were small. You can change it now, in this moment, with a breath and a shift in the perspective and loving compassion that you carry for yourself and then can share with the world. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers
and your toe
and bring yourself back to the world.
That was beautiful, Bettina. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I like how you reference the relationship we have with ourselves is what we create with others.
It's so important.
Yeah. Well, thank you everybody for joining us, and hopefully you able to take into your week, you know, being kinder and more self-compassionate and self-loving to ourselves so that we can just naturally begin attracting and transforming the relationships around us. We'll see you all next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.